Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. A housing and urban development grant of almost $30 million is enabling the St. Louis nonprofit Urban Strategies to participate in a project to revitalize North St. Louis neighborhoods. How will that money be spent? Joining us in studio to talk about it is Esther Shin, the new president of Urban Strategies. Esther, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's early on, I know, but is there a plan yet or is it still being formulated?
There is a plan. So prior to the grant submission that got us the $30 million, there was a nearly 16-month planning process that involved over 600 stakeholders, nearly 150 meetings, where we established the community's vision, what they wanted to see happen, what this money needed to go towards, and who the partners were that needed to be involved.
Well, what is the basic plan then?
The basic plan has three primary components. There's the housing piece, and Preservation Square is at the center of that. That's the housing development that will be transformed. The second critical component is neighborhood. That's all the things that would convince you or I to live and choose a neighborhood where we select to live. And those are things like transportation, green space, retail, commercial vitality. And then the third component is people. And that's the area that Urban Strategies were most familiar with, and that's physical mental health, that's jobs, that's cradle-to-college career programs.
How broad an area will this encompass?
So the near north side target neighborhood starts at the river and goes all the way to a block off of Jefferson to the west and to the north, St. Louis Avenue, where Old North St. Louis sits, and then to the South Washington Avenue.
It's a pretty big chunk of real estate.
Yes, it's pretty sizable.
Well, let's take them component by component and start with Preservation Square. Mm-hmm. What exactly is going to be happening there?
So McCormick Barron Salazar is the development team that was identified to revitalize the site. They're the owner as well. Their plans call for primarily rehabbing the site. The site will be brought up to date. The units will be enlarged. There will be amenities for residents that live there on the site, as well as some additional housing off-site as well. So the available units of affordable housing will actually increase within the footprint.
Where is the money going to come from to accomplish this?
So we have the City of St. Louis, who is our primary grantee partner. You know, the grant went to the City of St. Louis. Through the partnership, we have identified and developed a number of other partners that have been critical to leverage. Right. So the federal government's $30 million is actually leveraging an additional $2.2 billion worth of local funding through both cash and in-kind services. So on the housing side, there will be private investment, private equity. There will be hopefully housing tax credits through the state's housing low-income housing tax credit program. On the commercial side, on retail, there's the National Geospatial Agency that's coming in that's bringing in $1.7 billion worth of investment. Transit opportunities through the new bike path and Great Rivers Greenway work, and then a number of local partners like Affinia Healthcare, St. Louis Public Schools, and Prosperity Connection on the services side.
Are they all signed on?
Yes. They've all commitment letters. We had to have formal commitment letters from every partner that got included in the grant application package. And so we have over two dozen committed partners.
You're still going to need some political support, however.
Yes.
That's sometimes tougher to sign up in advance.
Yes. But, you know, through the planning process, we've had our, you know, elected officials have all been at the table. They've really been leading this in a lot of ways. The mayor and Alderwoman Hubbard have been extremely gracious in terms of their time, attending so many different meetings to engage with residents and to see for themselves what, you know, the city was undertaking.
Now, you talk about housing. Are you talking about building housing, rehabbing housing? What exactly do you mean there?
Both. Uh-huh. So new housing through what's taking place at Preservation Square, as well as partners like Paul McKee, who's planning on new housing in the area as well. That's additional leverage. So both new and rehabbing.
I'm gathering that's probably somewhat of a disappointment to you and yours over the failure of the Proposition NS in the most recent election, because that would have stabilized a lot of housing that would fall into your bailiwick.
You know, it's an early setback. It's an immediate setback, but you know, we're really focused on how to get this implemented through local, state, and you know, hopefully federal investment. So while it is an immediate setback, we're not looking at it that way. We'll continue to seek out other opportunities through other investments, through other partners. So, you know, we're not looking at it as completely damaging to the project.
Federal investment is another kind of question mark there, because this new administration is really formulating what it's going to do and how it's going to do it. How does that impact you in terms of your planning?
So there was going to be a new president, either, you know, whether it was Hillary or Donald. And so we had anticipated it prior to the election, and we always knew there was going to be change. And so with the Trump administration, we're really focused on, you know, reaching out to those state and local partners. We're not certain yet what the federal landscape looks like. We know that there are some proposed budget cuts. We don't know at the end of the day what they're going to look like. So we're in a bit of a limbo. So we're going to continue to focus on what we know, where we know those potential investments are, and you know, wait and see what happens on the national landscape. In the meantime, we can be advocates. So partnering with national organizations to really put forth the agenda around affordable housing, around strong education, around high-quality early learning programs and health services. So at least getting out into the public airspace what, you know, our families need.
What kind of a timetable are you looking at?
So the grant program takes it's on the services side 5 years, on the housing side 7. So right now we're awaiting all the federal approvals. So a dollar has not been transferred yet. So we have now submitted to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development our initial budgets, as well as project schedules. And once those approvals come in, we're able to immediately get started.
I'm certainly not an expert in your field, but it seems to me that this is better organized and better planned out than a great many projects I could think of in St. Louis. You agree?
I don't know if it's better planned, but you know, at Urban, this is St. Louis. This is our 9th Choice Neighborhoods implementation grant that we're involved with, mm-hmm. and we've learned a lot from earlier grants. This grant has been around since 2010. So we've learned a lot. And so in our hometown, we wanted to do it right. And hopefully, you know, we got most of it right. We know it wasn't perfect. But one thing we really wanted to do was be inclusive. We wanted the umbrella to be as large as possible. So, you know, I don't know that we can compare it to other projects within mm-hmm. the city, but we wanted to do it based on what we've learned and hopefully what we thought, you know, we were doing was right.
Just backtracking for just a moment, in as much as this is a federal grant, mm-hmm. are you guaranteed that money? Again, given the uncertainty about the change in administrations.
Yes. This money was dedicated through last year's federal budgetary process, so it's committed.
Right. I'm interested in 600 meetings. That's a lot of meetings. You had a significant public participation as well. Give me some sense of the kinds of things that people who live in these neighborhoods were talking about during these meetings.
So there were 4 critical priority areas that came up. Real economic development, real economic opportunities, so jobs was highlighted significantly. Next is connectivity. So connectivity to one another as neighbors, connectivity to downtown, connectivity to the region. 3rd area, sustainability, making certain that whatever investments took place endured. And then finally, public safety, making mm-hmm. certain that children are safe walking to school, making certain that, you know, residents could walk out and about at night and feel safe. So public safety.
So how do you guarantee that? Not that anyone can guarantee it, but how do you deal with it, the public safety aspect?
So I mean, through multiple ways. There's the partnership with law enforcement. Obviously, that's clear. That's sort of an easy straight shot. But then much larger than that are services and alternative programs. So mm-hmm. making certain that young adults have places to go where they feel nurtured and are participating in enriched activities. There's also, you know, the jobs piece. So making certain that folks have access to every opportunity to improve themselves and getting a job and gaining access to gainful employment. And so it's not just about the law enforcement piece, but also about making certain that our residents have access to those programs that are going to improve their quality of life.
So you were relieved, I'm sure, when Proposition 1 passed in the most recent election.
Yes.
Because that proposed Metrolink expansion fits right into this plan of yours.
Yes, and that the proposed route literally goes straight up 14th Street to the front doorstep of a brand new community center that we have planned. And
What would have happened had that not passed?
It would have been a real challenge for us. This community is really isolated, and so to have the ability to be able to get somewhere, whether it be to anchor institutions, to cultural institutions, to work, that connectivity piece is really, really important. And for a community that has been so long felt isolated from the region, to not have that transit opportunity would have been devastating.
Right. The a concern in these communities has been for a long, long time has been adequate health care. There aren't facilities in these neighborhoods that we're talking about, for the most part, to deal with health issues. And as the For Sake of All report has recently shown, it's a terrifically important component. Does that work its way into this plan at all?
Yes. So health education, access to high-quality health care. But what we've learned is that there are actually a number of really high-quality health care providers in the neighborhood. Our partner is the Federally Qualified Health Center, Affinia Healthcare. For a lot of our families, it's just not knowing what these clinics provide, what services are available. And so getting them educated on what's actually in their community and getting them linked up to them.
Right. We have to take a break. We'll do that now. We're talking with Esther Shin, who is the president of Urban Strategies St. Louis. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. If you'd like to get into it and talk about the neighborhood plan that we're talking about for the North Side neighborhoods, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send a tweet, do so at STL on Air. You might be curious about what could be going on in your neighborhood. We'd love to hear from you. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Esther Shin. Esther, you know, it seems to me that people in the neighborhoods that we're talking about have been made promises before and have been optimistic before about change. And somehow over the years, not much has come to pass. Any guarantees out there for them?
There are no guarantees, and I'm not one to make promises that I can't deliver on. We've been very honest and upfront from day one about the non-negotiables and what could happen. And we've made very clear during the planning process we could go after this $30 million and not get it. And so what do we do if we don't get it? What are the things that we can commit to today, knowing based on the resources that we have? So, you know, the transparency part is really important.
You talk about non-negotiables. What are the non-negotiables?
Those are the things that have been set out by the grant. Right? So there's a housing development that has to be at the center of it, which is why Preservation Square is the housing development that's at the center of it. Because people ask, so why Preservation Square? Those were the rules set out by the grant program. And so those kinds of non-negotiables.
Another part of sustaining neighborhoods, of course, is education. That's something that you can't control.
Right.
So how do you approach that?
Strengthening capacity, you know, working with our school partners, St. Louis Public Schools, KIPP Schools, who've been at the table since day one, working with them to, you know, identify resources to fill in the gaps where capacity might need to be strengthened. They've been at all those meetings, and they've been very, very honest about what they need and the kinds of change that they would like to see happen. So for us to be a good partner and helping them identify those resources.
We've already established the fact that the public, the neighborhood folks themselves, have been involved in this various early stages of all of this. Will they continue to be a part of what happens from here on?
Definitely. We continue to have meetings. We have consistent community public meetings. Those are always in the neighborhood. Those are public. We share our information on a Near Northside website. So keeping residents continually engaged and actively engaged, meaning that they're not just providing input, but they're being held for being held accountable for some of the work as well. This is their community. So really being an active participant in how this work gets done.
What might some of that work actually be?
So there have been several groups that have been organized. There's a youth group. There's also a moms group, public safety group. So they've all organized their own projects, community service, things that they would like to see happen in the neighborhood organized, whether it be neighborhood beautification, trash pickup. They've been organizing some of their own activities based on, you know, some of the priorities that emerge out of the planning process.
How would you gauge the sense of excitement?
So if I would have been able to videotape when Secretary Castro came to make the announcement, the energy in the room from residents and partners was incredible. And the level of participation and engagement, I think, has demonstrated just how anxious folks are to see something change.
Is there a template for what you're doing here, anyplace else, any other cities that have gone through this or are in the process of doing that you can learn from?
So there are 20 other cities that have received choice implementation grants. And so what we're doing is we're looking at not only what other cities around the country are doing, but also what is going on here in the region. There's also great stuff happening here in the city of St. Louis, just in neighborhoods a few doors away. So looking at all of the models that we could learn from and build upon or take to scale.
What have you learned from what you've seen just here locally as you've gone through the process?
Locally, I've learned that there are a lot of really great and committed partners, which you know, I think that maybe 20 years ago, if we had tried to do this project, it may have been and we've been in this neighborhood for over 20 years, and I think 20 years ago, it would have been much tougher. But today, the level of partnership and engagement has been very, very different. And so that's been fantastic, absolutely fantastic to see.
You've got a broad range of projects within the major project that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. What represents, would you say, the biggest challenge this early on?
So I would say for some of the projects, it's financing, it's resources. There are never enough resources. It's $30 million seems like a lot of money, but the reality of it is that it's a drop in the bucket when you're talking about total community transformation. So when we talk about the kinds of programs that we would like to see around youth social enterprise, program development, there's just not enough money in the world.
Bringing the youth component into it is an interesting part of this. It's their neighborhood for the future. And
right.
In so many cases, a neighborhood such as the ones we're talking about, they're the ones, as you've indicated earlier, are often involved and caught up in the crime sphere, if you will. How, during the course of all of this planning, have you been dealing specifically with young people?
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been engaged in all the meetings. So we've been inviting youth leaders to our meetings as well. There is a youth council that has developed that we have been nurturing in partnership with the downtown YMCA, trying to build the capacity of youth and really authentically engaging them. So it's not us establishing the framework for how they work, but really leaning on them to guide that framework and develop that framework. So I think that, you know, when you genuinely ask young people to participate, I think you get really honest feedback.
Another of the things that occurs to me is largely absent from the communities that we're talking about and so important is grocery stores. It's mm-hmm. having access to the basics. Mm-hmm. We talk about a food desert in right. these neighborhoods. This all has to be part of the plan.
It is. So that's sort of chicken or the egg. Yeah. So we've been told that for a major grocery store to come in, there need to be more rooftops. But then, you know, in order to get more people to move in, grocery store is a clear amenity that people want. So we've been working with trying to find a middle ground. So working with programs like Hosco and Metro Market and Paul McKeon, his new fresh foods store, to at a minimum provide for what residents need today in hopes that we can get them to the bigger vision of a full-scale grocery store eventually.
Have you worked at all with Beyond Housing, which has been quite successful in the area in which it operates?
We have. We partner with Beyond Housing on a regional education grant program. Unfortunately, we were not successful with that grant program, but we definitely see that what's going on in the near north side being linked to what's going on in the greater north county as well. And so we've definitely had those conversations with Chris and his team, looking at how maybe from a regional perspective we can partner in various ways.
Our time is winding down here. What else about this project do you want to make sure that the public knows that we haven't talked about?
The umbrella still grows. So, you know, folks that want to get involved, the door's always open. We want to be as inclusive as possible, as transparent. And if community folks want us to come out and speak to them about the project, we are more than happy to. And that this, in order for this program to be successful, it's not going to be because of urban strategies. It's going to be because there was strong commitment behind it from the city and from the residents that live in the community.
There sure is a lot happening in this part of our community, isn't there? And hasn't there been recently? Just a
yes.
lot of attention on it.
Yes. It's exciting.
And about time. Thank you so much.
Thank
great,
you.
Great to have you with us. Esther Shin, President of Urban Strategies. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.